I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas. Did anybody get anything for Christmas? You know, the neat thing about Christmas is, this is a new sweater. Isn't it nice?
Yes.
Nice sweater. Yes, yeah, nice sweater. And people say to me, oh, did you get that for Christmas? As a matter of fact, I did. You know, some people see something new on you and they say, hey, did you get that for Christmas? You go, as a matter of fact, I did. Sissy, what did you get for Christmas? What's that last thing you got?
I got a gun.
I got a gun. Oh, she's packing. She's packing. Mossberg, Bantam 500, 20 gauge pump. Oh, yeah, she got one. She goes out, she shoots skeet. So don't mess with Chippewa, I'm telling you right now. Don't come Chippewa, because... But people get things for Christmas, right? And they say, hey, did you get that for Christmas? Hey, did you get that for Christmas? You know, the interesting thing about getting things for Christmas, did anybody get Christ for Christmas?
Oh, yes.
I mean, people came in the door, and something in my eye here, but people came in the door, and you said, hey, did you get that for Christmas? Did you get that for Christmas? And for Christians, we ought to be able to walk in the door and say, hey, I see you got some joy for Christmas. Or I see you got some peace for Christmas. Oh, man, there's something different about you. What did you get? You must have got Christ for Christmas. And I wonder how many of us would be able to go to work when all of this is over and somebody say, hi, I can see what you got for Christmas. I can see it. I can see it all over you. You got Christ for Christmas. Wouldn't that be a great thing to have? In fact, as I told you, the last Christmas Eve service, I said to you, what is the best thing that you could give anybody is to what? Get more Christ in you. Amen. Did anybody do that? I mean, how was the time between when I asked you to do that and the ending of today, in that length of time, would the people in your life that you say you love, would they have said to me, oh, I can see Pastor Tom. Man, they did what you told them to do. They must have got more Christ in them because they were more compassionate during this week. They were more loving during this week. They had more patience with me during this week. They had more kindness. Or would they say, Pastor Tom, they need to go shopping again because they missed the Christ part. I wonder. And what we're going to talk about today is those things that you could have got for Christmas had you asked. Had you asked for the right things, you could have got some stuff that could have benefited a whole lot of people at the same time. How many understand that? You know, when I walk in some place and they say, hey, did you get a new sweater? I got a new sweater. I got this too. You know, I'm the world's greatest grandpa thing. You know? But I had this a while. But you should be able to walk in the door and people say to you, oh, no, I got a couple years. But people should walk in the door and say, hey, I see what you got. There's something different about you. There's just the way you're carrying yourself. There's just something different about you. I see what you got. You got Christ in you. Turn in your Bibles, please. And we're going to go to the Gospel of St. Matthew, the sixth chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. Chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 33.
So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well.
Wow. Isn't that cool? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if you walked in some place and they say, hey, you seem a lot more calm. You don't seem to be worried as much as you were before. Did you hit the lottery? I mean, did you hit the lottery? Interesting thing, we were giving out presents at our house on Christmas Day. And Sissy had decided that each of our grandsons needed to have a train table. And so we got them train tables. And we got the girls vanities things. And little Selena, she wanted a, what's that thing called? Yes. A DS. And we're giving these things out. You know, and my mother said to somebody, he must have hit the lottery. Didn't she say that? He must have hit the lottery. No. I work hard. You have more than one job. I got a couple jobs. Sissy works. We saved. We didn't hit the lottery. We wanted to do something nice for our grandkids. Help me understand that. And sometimes, you know, you walk in someplace and your whole demeanor's changing. Whoa, what, you hit the number? You hit the lottery? Yeah, matter of fact, I did. See, I hit the lottery big time. I hit the lottery big time. I got Christ in me. You see, when you walk in the door and people look at you and say, whoo, what's different with you? You don't seem to be bouncing off the walls with anxiety today. You seem to be chilling out, you know. You don't seem to be sweating. What got into you? Wouldn't it be great to say, Christ got into me? And I have learned that if you got Jesus in your life, you don't need to worry about some stuff. Because he's got it covered. I mean, he really has it covered. And a lot of us in 2012, we might have been stressed out and worried about a whole bunch of stuff. And chances are pretty good that stuff that you was worried about, guess what, didn't come to pass. How many know most things you worry about never come to pass anyhow, right? And so anxiety and worry and stress, wouldn't it be great to be able to go into 2013 and say, you know what, that's it. Anxiety, stress, worry is done. I'm giving it to Christ. How many have a better 2013 if you learn to do that, right? How many are really good at laying things down at the foot of the cross and picking it back up and say, okay, let's go? That's not going to cut it. Look at Matthew 6, 31 to 33. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Are we worried about those things? And what are those things? They're material things. What you wear and what you eat and what you drink, they're material things, right? They're material things. And Jesus, don't worry about that stuff. I got it covered. How many of you know most of us are not going to make the pin-up calendar poster child for, you know, world hunger? We're not going to be on the calendar, Tim. It ain't coming. And so what we need to understand is that God is going to supply all those things. Wouldn't it be great? Turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark 10, 28 to 30.
Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life."
Wow, isn't that cool? I mean, listen to what that passage of scripture says. It says mothers and brothers and parents and sisters, but it also says houses and lands too, right? It says houses and lands. So it's also material things too. Houses and lands, right? Houses and lands. Interesting. I tell you, some of you know this, but I tell you this so you know, practical application through someone else's experience is a good thing to learn. I used to have a really big position in an insurance company. Some of you knew that, right? Humongous position in an insurance company. Humongous. In fact, as Sissy and I, through this position that I had, you know, we built a 3,600 square foot house in Cranberry Township. And I remember when I first accepted a position as a youth pastor in a church, we invited people to come to an open house at our house in Cranberry Township, and people walked into that house, and they went home and said, "How much are we paying that guy? How much are we paying that guy?" Right? And people had said, "There's something wrong here. This guy's supposed to have a vial of poverty. And he's living in a 3,600 square foot house," right? That's what they said. He's supposed to, what? He's got a bigger house than we got. I'm not making this up, right? Not making this up. He shouldn't be living some 3,600 square foot in Cranberry Township. You know, with the spiral staircase. What is this about? He's supposed to be a pastor. Where's the poverty? And so I was working for this insurance company, and we had decided, Sis and I decided, that we would go full-time in the ministry. Full-time in the ministry. And we walked away from that large position, and we planted a church, and the church paid us how much, Christina, initially?
Zero.
Nothing. For more than a year. Right? And then I got a tremendous raise the second year. I don't know, $1,000 a month or something like that. And here's what I'm telling you. If you're faithful, Sis and I, we build a new home. Build a new home in Chippewa Township. And God will give back to you. Now, I'm not saying we need to have a wealth that's beyond, but God takes care of your needs. Help me understand that. He gives you what you need 100% of the time. Every time. Not what you want, but what you need. How many of you know you cannot outgive God? You can't do it. You cannot outgive God. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. Like you reach in your pocket, talk about an offering, right? And you have a $20 and you have a $10. You're going, I should really put the 20 in. But yeah, but see, I might need that 20, so I'll put the 10 in. And you're debating about, you know, how much should I put in? How many understand what we're talking about? The 20, the 10, the 20, the 10. Which one? Which one? See, God's saying, well, put them both in. What are you worrying about? Do you understand that's what it means in Scripture when it says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing? How many know that passage of Scripture? Do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. You know what that means? You know, it comes your offering plate and you go. See, what's happening is your right hand's knowing what your left hand's doing, right? So what should you do? Can God give it back? How many know He'll give it back? Now check it out. It says in Scripture, check it out. It's so cool. Mark chapter 10, what Sissy just read for you. Surely I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold. When? In this time. Do we also receive rewards in heaven? Well, of course we do, but we also receive it where? Now. Now, this is what I want to challenge you for. Somebody say, what did you get for Christmas? This is really cool, especially you're my age. I got more brothers. Well, my mother did tell me one day, I want to clue in on this. My mother did tell me this one day, which freaked me out, because she was, you know, she had her knee replaced, and she was in physical therapy at a hospital. And this physical therapist and occupational, like my good friend Sue, was paying attention to her and play cards with her, occupational therapy, play cards with her. And my mother started liking this guy. And my mother told me, I got news for you, Tommy. And I said, what's that? I'm going to get you a new baby daddy. And I said, you're going to do what? Oh, I'm going to get you a new daddy. I said, I don't want no new daddy, Ma. And you don't want one either. But the point is this. Wouldn't it be great to say to somebody, you know what I got for Christmas? I got some more brothers and sisters. Now, you may think that's not true, but it is. Because today, in the door walks one of my new brothers. Tim walks in the door. Tim and Dan. Say, hi, guys. That's my brother and my sister right there. Right, Sissy? That's Sissy's brother and sister. And they walked in the door. A new brother and sister. I got a new brother and sister. And Al, my new brother back there, say hi, Al. Right? I got new brothers and sisters. How many got new brothers and sisters? How much are you going to pay for that? Nothing. There's Becca back there, our sister in Christ, back there with her kids. Praise the Lord, right? And so you get new brothers and sisters. You might have lost some. I have a sister that won't talk to me. I'll be preaching at her. But you know what? I got more. How many got more brothers and sisters than you know what to do with? So God says, you know what? Don't worry about it. I'm going to give you so much stuff. You can't even hardly contain it. So what'd you get for Christmas? A new sweater? Yeah, I got a new sweater. That's cool. But I got a new brother and sister. I got a new brother. I got a sister. Oh, life is good. How many know life is good? How many of you, if you knew that Sue, check this out. This is unrehearsed. If you knew that Sue had a problem, and Sue needed help, and she just made one call. Hey, I'm stuck. I need help. If you would be willing to help her, stand up. Now, where are you going to get this? Go to your work and ask the same question. You know what they say? Sue who? Sit back down. That's what they would say. Sue.
Call AAA.
Call AAA. And so, where do you get that kind of love, right? Where can you get that? In the church, God's church. Turn your Bibles, please, to John 15:11.
This is Jesus speaking. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
I got a text message this morning from another brother of mine and sister, Kenny Beckett. You remember Kenny Beckett?
Yep.
And he sent Sissy and I an email. And this is what the email says. This is from Kenny Beckett. In an effort to reduce depression during the holiday season, we will not be watching the Steeler game today at the clubhouse. How many understand the sentiment of this text message, right? In an effort to reduce depression during the holiday season, we will not be watching the Steelers today at the clubhouse. Now, I understood that cutie little thing because, you know, they watch the football games in the clubhouse. But what he's saying is that the Steelers losing the way they have been losing is causing some people to be depressed. And maybe for some folks, that's true. And I know there are some folks who told me, you know, they're playing the Browns. You know, in years past, they played the Browns. We'd have to cancel the worship services at the same time. Yeah. The Browns? How many hate the Browns? How many hate the Steelers more today, though? Yeah. See? And the reality of it is, a lot of people are saying to me, oh, heck with it. The season is what?
Over.
No, it's not. It's not over. It's not over, right? It's another game. It's not the game, right? But what they're saying is, I am so upset. I am so depressed with the way that they play. They're not even worth me watching them. How many understand that? Oh, get a life. It's a game. How many understand that? God created games. He said to a little boy and a little girl, here's a ball, here's a bat. Go have fun. Go outside in the sunshine and hit the ball and run and chase and throw. Have fun. And man said, hey, let's keep score. Man said, let's keep score. And the minute man said, let's keep score, how many understood that no longer became a game anymore? Did it? You see, what God is saying, that you know what I want to give you? What I want to give you is unexpressible joy. You can't even contain it, joy. You can't even try to squeeze it into you. It just comes out. Who needs joy like that in your life? That whatever it is that you're doing on Monday or Tuesday, somebody hasn't seen you since Christmas, you walk in, a person says, oh, what are you on? You get that? But you are, though, right? I mean, what are you on? Wouldn't it be great to say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost? Wouldn't that be something to be able to go wherever you are and say, you know what? I am full of the Holy Ghost. The way that I have been seeing life, oh, joy, joy, joy down in my what?
Heart.
Down in my heart. All right, right on cue. Pretty cool. Where? And so we can have that joy that's down inside of us. And look what it says, John 15:11. These things, Jesus, these things I've spoken to you, that whose joy? My joy, Christ's joy, not Dr. Phil, not Oprah, not Montel, not Dr. Oz. My joy, Christ's joy, my joy. And it says that my joy may be in you and remain in you, and that your joy may be what?
Full.
Did anybody get that for Christmas? I mean, really, did you get that for Christmas? Did you get joy? Joy, abundantly joy? That when you walk in some place, when you go back to wherever you came from, people can look at you and they won't say, nice sweater. They'll say, oh man, what is with you? What happened to all those problems that you had? Oh, I still got them. But I got something bigger than that. And wouldn't that be great? Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Okay there, Miss Sissy.
Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy.
Wow. Inexpressible, Sue. Inexpressible. And full. Inexpressible and full. I mean, how many of you have ever tried to explain to somebody some place that you've been? And, you know, you're trying to give all of the adjectives you can, you know, and you finally say to somebody, you know what, you just had to have been there. You ever been to a place like that? You just had to have been there. This joy is more express. What's that? The Grand Canyon, yeah, it's just enormous, right? It's not a word. And so this joy that is inside of you, brothers and sisters, it's inexpressible, which means it is overwhelming. You can't even explain it. All right. Now, how many of you ever have a loved one who now resides in the kingdom of heaven? All right. Now, how many of you on that day of that event, the grief was so much inside of you, you couldn't even explain it? Who's ever had that experience? And, you know, you try to explain to somebody how you feel and you can't describe it. It's so deep down inside of you that it can't be explained. You can be surrounded by 100 people while at the same time you feel like you're all by yourself. How many's ever had that experience? Take that experience now and put it on the other side of the scale, and that's the inexpressible joy. I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not consumed with anxiety about anything. I just got this, oh, life is so great. Wouldn't you like to get that for Christmas? Well, did you get it? Did you get the inexpressible joy that only Christ can give you? Did you get that for Christmas? Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4.
When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory.
Ooh. Let's talk about that one. I told you that there were three aspects of people who said, if you're having the good life, it means this. There was a whole list of things, but the top three, they said, hey, if you're going to have the good life, what does it mean? And I told you, one was health, wealth, and popularity. You want to be known. You know, and I go to lots of places, I go to lots of meetings, and I do a lot of teaching and things like that for UPMC, and you know somebody's, you know, putting you on, right? Hey, oh, it's nice to see you. Tom, nice to see you. How many's ever had that experience? You know, hey, you know, it's a really great year. You know, you're a teacher, popular, and people come up and say, hey, I haven't seen you in a long time. Yo, Chico, how you doing? How's the family doing? I'm not married. Oh. We want to be known, right? When Tim came in, right? I don't know if you heard me. I said, hey, Tim, how you doing? Well, I recognized Tim right away when he walked in. And said, hey, Brother Tim, it's nice to be recognized. But how many of you know people really don't care that much about you? We care about one another in here. Well, let's just be real, okay? You go stand on a corner down there by Carmody's. Is that Carmody's down there or something? Go stand on a corner back there and see how many people really care about you. How many think are going to care about you? None. And now we have, there's Brother Al back there. He's a good friend of mine, Al Lip. Now, he might be recognized in some places. He may, because he's a guitar player for Johnny Angel and Halo. So some people might recognize him. Oh, cool. Tell us your story.
Ha 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 ha
No, I really am. I get kind of like some of the same stuff. If I go to Walmart in Chippewa where we live, people come up to me, they're looking right at me. And I think, hey, they know me. This is cool. They say, you're Sissy Bracken's husband, aren't you? Yeah, I'm him. Everywhere, you're Sissy's husband. Yep, I'm him. Sissy's husband. Fact is, we got a Christmas card. Pastor Dawn and Sissy. Well, Pastor Don. No, I said, you got another husband? Somebody I don't know about?
I think I spend more time in the water than you.
You're probably right. I said, Al, I feel your pain, brother. I feel your pain. But check it out, Colossians chapter 3, 4. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him. Ain't that cool? I mean, that's cool. I mean, if I was standing with Ben Roethlisberger, I know with my physique, somebody would think I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler. I can understand that. I can understand, you know. But, you know, some people want to hang around, you know, Ben Roethlisberger or Troy Polamalu. All the girls want to hang around with him, I'm sure. But, you know, hanging around with Christ, that when he comes in all his glory, not only will they see him, but guess who else they're going to see? Me. How many of you are they going to see too? They're going to see us. They're going to know I'm with him. You can be with Mario Lemieux, great guy, but I want to be with Christ. Who wants to be with Christ? What a Christmas present is that? What a Christmas present is that? To be able to be with Christ. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 10 to 12.
On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, my. When he comes in all his glory to be marveled at, who's that include? You. Wow. I mean, wow. Back to my good friend Al. He plays with Johnny Angel and the Halos. But when he comes back with Christ, he'll be with the angels. And that's better than Jackie Hunt any day, right? Oh, yeah. And so what we got to understand is, are you going to be with him? Will you see him coming in all of his glory? And will you be trembling in fear? It's your choice. It's your choice. How many want to be with Christ when he comes in all of his glory? Oh, he's coming in all his glory, right? How many know he is coming? He is coming. And so what we got to follow is say to ourselves, wow, did you receive that kind of status at Christmas time? When somebody says, what'd you get for Christmas? Say, oh my gosh, I got the opportunity to come with Jesus Christ in all of his glory and all of the world's going to see me. I got that for Christmas. What'd you get? Tickets to Johnny Angel and Halo. When they playing? So, what you got to follow is, how many want to be with Christ when he comes? Wow, what can you trade for that? Nothing. Turn your Bibles, please. 2 Thessalonians, you're right there, chapter 2, verse 14.
He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, my. Sharing in the glory of Jesus Christ. Can you even start to fathom that for just a second? To share in the glory of Jesus Christ? Try to go to the White House and get an audience with the president. Can it be done? No. Write a letter to the president. You might get one of those, you know, form letter things back with a picture or something like that. You know, I was really, you know, I got pictures of George W. Bush. I thought I was the only one who got it. I was greatly depressed when I found out that everybody who gave like $10 or more got the picture. I was greatly depressed. I thought I was on his mailing list. Me and him was like this. Anybody else get a picture of George W. Bush? You got one too? No way. All of you got one? Not just me? Crazy. And I bet he really didn't sign it either. You got two? And his signature was on there. Signature. Now, it didn't say, Dear Tom. It didn't say that on there. It was my first clue that maybe it wasn't just for me. But I get to share in the glory of Christ. And you know what's really cool? In that example I gave you of the picture I got from George W. Bush, he really doesn't know me, I don't think. Do you think?
He might.
I don't think. He'd probably go to Giant Eagle and say, what time's the band play? He don't know him either. But you know what? Christ knows me. Now, you got to fathom that for just a second, okay? Now, you really got to try to wrap your arms around that big thought. Christ knows me. Fact is, he knows every hair on my head. Is that a true statement? He knows every fiber of my being. He knows when I cry. He knows when I laugh. He knows everything about me. And guess what? He knows everything about all of his children. How many of you can make that same statement? He knows all about you. Does he know all about you? Do you think that, you know, the people that we worship today in sports, Ben Roethlisberger, for example, how many of you do you think Ben Roethlisberger knows personally? He doesn't know you. He may be thankful for you because you buy some tickets and things. But Christ knows you personally. And he wants you to share in his glory. Is that cool? Did you get that for Christmas? When you walk in some place and, you know, maybe you're kind of walking like this sometimes. You know it's hard to breathe like that, by the way? No, it really is. You know, that's what way God made you. It's hard to breathe like that. You know, with your right, your PT. It's hard to breathe. You get your shoulders down like this, stoop over, your head down. That's hard to breathe, right? Hard to breathe. And you get lack of oxygen, that causes some bad stuff, right? Causes some bad stuff. But we're created to breathe how? To get our shoulders back and get our heads up, right? So when you go to work on Monday or Tuesday, whatever that you're doing, start walking in like, you know. Nice. Been walking over here like her. Hey, babe, how you doing? We doing after church. Want to go home? No, you walk in someplace that, what's with you? Oh, man, you ain't going to believe. I'm sharing in the glory of Christ. What are you doing? I'm sorry. We help him out. And so you got to be understanding that you are sharing in the glory of Christ. How many are thankful for that? Wow, what a Christmas present. But we're not even done. This is so cool. Turn your Bibles, please. John 13, Gospel of John 13, verses 12 to 17.
This is Jesus speaking. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a master or a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them.
Oh, I got to edumacate you. The word for blessed in the Greek also means happy. 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 How many of you would like to just be happy from time to time? I mean, just give me a little bit of joy and happiness in my life. If you do these things, happiness will be yours. Now, I told you this before, and it's worth me telling it again. How many receive greater joy out of giving than you do in receiving? How many would say that's your true statement? And how many would say, boy, every time I give to somebody, I have this peace that is inside of me and this happiness that I have. How many can say that's true? All right, so why is that true? Why is that true? He says in Scripture, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, it makes perfect sense. If I said to you, how many of you receive greater happiness out of giving than out of receiving? How many of you say that's true? Cool. So if you did today, you gave twice from yourself, you would be happy times two. But follow that rational. That's not hard math. That's kind of simple math, right? If I did two things today and gave of myself or something and I brought joy into somebody's life through my servanthood, I would be happy times two. Is that a fair statement? Therefore, check the math. It's not that hard. If I did three things, I'd be happy times three. But what if I did all day long? I just gave from myself all day long. Would I therefore, at least exponentially, be happy all day long? Would that be a fair statement? What if I did that for a whole week? What if I found a way to serve all week? Would it then not probably be certainly true that I'd be happy all week? Would that be a fair statement? But what if I did it all month? Well, let's just skip that. What if I did it the rest of my life? What if I figured it out that the world did not evolve around me? It evolved around everybody else. And I was not the most important person in the world. Everybody else was. And what if I got it figured out that I would be happy and blessed and joyful out of doing, and then therefore my life would be full? How many would say that'd be a pretty good life? Is anybody stopping you from doing that? No. Just who? You. Fact is, they tell you, if you are depressed, what should you do? Go help somebody. Did you know that? Now, the hard thing is the what? Get yourself up, get yourself dressed, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, so to say, and go out and do something. But guess what? If you could do that, if you were really, really depressed, and you said, you know what? The heck with this. I'm going to go help somebody out. Guess what just might happen to your depression, at least for that hour while you're doing for somebody else? Guess what might happen? Gone. It'll be gone. Because you're concentrating on who? The other person. And not concentrating on who? Yourself. And so Jesus says, if you do these things, you will be what? Blessed or happy. Is that great or what? And you're walking in the world, man, you just, what'd you get for Christmas? Oh man, I got happiness. Well, how'd you get that? Whoo! You know, I got a new sweater, and guess what I did with it? Gave it to somebody that needed one. And I'm so happy. Wait a minute. Wait, you gave away your new sweater? Oh yeah, I saw this person that didn't have a sweater. I said, here, take mine. I may be a little chilly, but I'm a lot happier. How many understand that? And so Jesus says, if you would do this, turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 35.
In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Is that a true statement? True statement. It is certainly better to give than it is to receive. And the only person that's stopping you from giving is you. If you make it all about you, if the world evolves around you, there's not enough people on the face of this earth that can make you happy. It just isn't. Because you know what? You'll get a new car. You want a new stereo. It's true. To get a new refrigerator, you're going to want a new stove to match the color. It's the way life works. The fact is, it tells us this in Ecclesiastes. The last one for this morning, turn to Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. And I'm going to wait till you get it because I really want you to look at it. I know some of you know Ecclesiastes, one of those popular verses, right? There's a time to mourn and a time to die, time to dance, a time to refrain from dancing. How many know that passage of Scripture? People love to quote that one, you know. For everything there is a season. Well, this is in there too, Ecclesiastes 5, 10. Sissy?
Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless.
Good passage of scripture. Isn't it? Whoever has loves money, well, what's it say?
Never has money enough.
Never has money enough. Ain't that true? If I have X amount of dollars, I need to invest X amount of dollars so I get X amount of interest. So my X amount of interest makes me X amount more dollars. Right? Oh, the stock market! I can't believe it. Look at the stock market! Then boom! Oh, I'm not happy. So it works. One who loves money will never have enough. What's the next passage? Just the next part.
Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income.
In my translation, it says, "For all of this is vanity. All vanity. Here today, gone tomorrow." Fact is, Ecclesiastes, everybody loves the quote, "For everything there is a season." You know, that's called a lament. You know what a lament is? Lament, it just means nothing. It means nothing at all. We love to quote that passage of scripture. Let me help you with that. The sun comes up, and the sun goes down. Some days it's hot, some days it's cold. I get up and I go to work. I come home and go to... Then I go up and go to work. Then I come home and go to... Then I get up and go to work. That's what that passage of scripture is talking about. Life is just an endless cycle. Endless cycle. There's time to be born and a time to die. A time to sow and a time to plant. That's a lament. And it means nothing. In fact, the author says, meaningless, meaningless. Life is meaningless. Nothing. Sometimes you got money and sometimes you don't. Meaningless. The only thing that can give you true meaning and life worthwhile living is Christ. New sweater? It won't be new. It's not new now. Why? I've already worn it. Right? All the new things that you got are no longer new. They're already old. Help me understand that. But Christ is new every day. Every day you get up, Christ is new in you. And so, when you go from this place and you have the opportunity to tell people what you got for Christmas, I gave you a whole bunch of things that you can talk about. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words. Lord, may we have for Christmas that we may take into 2013 inexpressible joy. The peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings. Anxiety free, worry free. Fame of knowing that we hang around with Jesus. And Father, help us to understand that if we truly want to be happy in this world, a lot less of us and a lot more of him. And all of God's people said, Amen.